Growing in Christ, we've looked at humility. We talked about the Pharisee and the tax collector, right? How humility is a definite part of growing in Christ. The next week, we looked at the prodigal son story, and we talked about forgiveness. Everybody say forgiveness. How many of you know if we're going to grow in Christ, we got to be forgivers? Just all there is to it, because there's going to be multiple opportunities for us to have to forgive. The other part of the story of the prodigal son that we looked at was the love of God, the love of the Father, and how that his love is for us no matter what. Amen? Thank God for that. We then looked, the last time I was here, so week before last, we looked at compassionate or kind acts. Okay, we've looked at the portion of scripture that Jesus said, you know, when the Son of Man shall come in his glory, he'll separate the sheep from the goats, and he'll say to those on his right hand, when I was hungry, you fed me. When I was naked, you clothed me. And so we looked at that. And today, I'm going to sandwich in this another series. It's going to be a growing in Christ. It's going to be growing in Christ, but I'm going to spend a little bit of time. It's apropos. We're just getting ready. I can't believe how green it's gotten in 10 days that I've been gone. It's amazing to me. But we're going to talk about how does our garden grow? Turn to your neighbor and say, how does your garden grow? Oddly enough, it's not a surprise, but Jesus, while he was upon the earth, certainly the society could be classified as distinctly an agrarian society. Are you with me? Agriculture was at the core of the time. And Jesus used some parables. And a parable is a short story that communicates a moral or a spiritual truth. Usually a parable has two meanings. It'll have at the very least a literal meaning. And then secondly, it'll have an underlying spiritual meaning that is designed. The parable is designed to be told in such a way that it's something that you can grasp, that you can grab a hold of. It's a parable is not exactly synonymous with an analogy, but it's very close. In other words, a parable is told in a way that usually who a parable is told to, the subject of the parable is readily understandable by the hearer. In other words, if I was to talk to us here in a northern climate, if I was to use a parable, let's say that was something that a people group could understand in a tropical climate, it would not be smart for me to use that kind of a parable. I would need to use a parable that was appropriate for us where we live. Are you with me? So we've got these parables, and there's three parables at the least that we're going to look at that have a distinctly, Jesus talks about things we understand. He talks about crops. He talks about dirt, right? Talks about soil. And we're going to look at those in light of how it can be applicable to us, how we can grow in Christ. And I just thought that, you know what? It's a perfect time. Here we are. Our growing season has begun. It's not in full swing yet, but it's getting really close. Amen? So if you wouldn't mind, let's go to the book of Matthew, chapter 13. And I would encourage you, if you would like to kind of, I don't know, go ahead, maybe wouldn't be the right word, but if you'd kind of like to start reading, you could read the 13th chapter of Matthew, you could read the 8th chapter of Luke, and you could read the 4th chapter of Mark, because we're going to be camping there for the next couple weeks or so, okay? Mark chapter 13, Luke chapter 8, Mark chapter 4, okay? Those chapters are some chapters we're going to stay with. We're going to, for the most part, take most of the text from the book of Matthew, okay? Matthew, in relating these stories, kind of gives a bit of a fuller, maybe one could say, and I'm going to spend some time there. Certainly today, I'm going to stay in the book of Matthew 13. Let's look at, first of all, that at the beginning of the chapter, it starts off with the fact that Jesus talked about a parable about a sower, a man that went to sow. I want you to skip all that. I want you to get down to verse 11. The disciples at the end of the telling of the story in verse 9, the disciples asked Jesus, they said, what does this mean? You know, what is this parable? What's this all about? And even further, why parables? Why are you talking to us in parables? Okay? Jesus, I want to spend just a little bit of time today to kind of set the stage of why a parable. Matthew 13, 11, he answered and said, because it's been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it's not been given. So let's just stop there. So they're asking the question. Let me try to turn quickly. Verse 9, Jesus finishes telling the parable of the sower. He says, he who has ears, let him hear. Disciples came and said to him, why do you speak to them in parables? Okay? So there's a multitude that were gathered together. Verse 2, there was a multitude that were gathered together to hear him. He got in the boat, sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. So get that picture in your brain. I don't know. Let's go to Durkee's Lake. Okay, and on Durkee's Lake there's a whole bunch of people. There's a multitude there. Jesus gets in a boat there on Durkee's Lake and just rows out there a little bit and begins to tell this story. And he talks about the parable of the sower. So the disciples, when he finishes that story, the disciples just kind of lean over to Jesus and says, why do you speak to them, the multitudes, in parables? Why are you doing that? Right? So Jesus says here, he responds and says, because the reason I'm speaking in parables to them is because it's been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom. But to them, it's not been given. So, for whoever has, to him will be more given. To him more will be given. And he will have abundance. So the one who has will have more given and will be more in abundance. But whoever doesn't have, even what he has will be taken from him. Therefore, I speak to them in parables, because seeing, they don't see, hearing, they don't hear, nor do they understand. And in them, the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled, which says, hearing, you will hear, shall not understand, seeing, you will see, and not perceive. For the hearts of this people have grown dull, their ears are hard of hearing, their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn so that I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they shall see, and your ears, for they shall hear. For assuredly I say to you that many prophets and righteous men desired to see what you see and didn't see, and to hear what you hear and didn't hear. Okay, let's sort of unpack that for a moment. Jesus finished the parable of the sower, and we'll get into it later, okay? We may get into part of it today, or we may not. But Jesus finished that parable and said in verse 9, he said, he who has an ear, let him hear. Now, who's he addressing that to? The multitude. Actually, we could say it this way. He's addressing it to anybody who's an earshot, including the disciples. So anybody that's here, Jesus is saying, hey, any of you that are here, any of you have an ear to hear, then hear. Now, maybe you know that is sort of a parable in itself, because the literal part is, he who has an ear, let him hear. The frequencies that are going and hitting your eardrum and your brain's turning it into words and whatever, okay, that you hear. But how many of you know that the hear is a deeper hear? Does that make sense to you? He who has an ear to hear, let him hear. He doesn't just say, he who has an ear, let him hear. Look at your Bible. Doesn't say he who has an ear, just, you know, if you have ears, then listen. We have to develop, guys, an ear to hear. We could say it another way. Are you listening to listen, or are you listening to learn? Have you ever had that conversation with a child? Right? I had that conversation with one of my children this morning. It's one of my younger children. In fact, the youngest child. Over something really simple. Really simple. Chores have to be done before we go to church. He didn't have a pair of pants. Wanted to get a brand new pair of pants to go feed horses. It's like, we don't do that. You don't need to make work for your mom. Right? So, honey, get your coveralls on. That's what coveralls are for. City folks, do you know what coveralls are? Okay. Coveralls, all right? They cover all. So I said, it's real simple. So I'm, it was an hour earlier, so it's dark. It's amazing we can do chores in the light, but in the dark, all of a sudden we can't do chores in the dark. I said, honey, that's the reason it's dark is because we sprung forward. It's an hour, actually an hour earlier than what it was, even though the time says it's an hour later. So, babe, it's going to be dark. So we still got to do chores. Gets a coat on and da-da-da-da-da. And I said, and he's looking for a deal. And really, he was stalling, hoping the sun would come up. Dad's not an idiot. He's like, let's go. Come on, let's go. Let's go. Let's go. Let's go. So finally, now he's listening, but he's not listening to hear what I'm trying to say. See, the solution to this is real easy, sweetheart. I told him, I said, honey, the solution's real easy. You don't need to look for another pair of pants. Yeah, I do. I need pants. I said, honey, we have this thing called coveralls. You've worn them all year. Go get your coveralls on. Keeps looking through for a pair of pants. So I said, honey, are you listening? Yeah, I've heard you. Bam, you know, he didn't hear me. He heard the audible, but he didn't hear what the audible translated into. He didn't. It's like, babe, the coat you have on, you don't need the coat. It's springtime. You don't need the coat. The coveralls take care of the whole deal. So take your coat off. I can't take my coat off. I've got to go outside. I said, honey, I said, stop. I said, babe, stop. I said, look at me in my eyes. Hear what I'm saying. The solution to your problem right now is found in one piece of gear. It's called a coverall. Now, you go get your coverall and it'll fix all your problems. It'll fix your coat problem. It'll fix your pant problem. The whole nine yards. Go get your coveralls on now. Well, I got to find a pair of pants. Anyhow, we finally got the coveralls on and we finally got the animals successfully fed. Praise the Lord. So Jesus said, he who has an ear, let him hear. Okay, now, the disciples said, now listen, why are you speaking to them in a parable? And what's interesting is Jesus was also speaking to them in a parable, right? He said, why are you speaking to them in a parable? And he said, because it's been made to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. So I'm trying to put myself in their shoes of how are these, they ask the question and Jesus is not answering the multitude. Jesus is answering the disciples. He's answering his inner core. Could I say it this way? He's answering believers already. These already that were called his disciples already believed in him, already were followers of him. So listen, what he said to them applies to you and I. In fact, it applies to any one of us who are a believer / follower of Jesus Christ. So let's read. If it's applicable to them, it's applicable to us. And it says this. It says, it's been given to you. Say, it's been given to me. To know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. But to them, who's the them? Now, one of the things that Jesus / God is not into is an us-them scenario. So Jesus wasn't excluding them being the multitudes, because how stupid would that be in the context of this story? Jesus went out on the boat, on the water, to talk to them. Now he's not excluding them. So who's the them? Did that make sense to you? Because it really wouldn't make any sense if them were every one of those people, those bad people out there. Jesus could have just turned around, had a kumbaya meeting in the boat with his disciples, if it was just them. The them is those who believe, those who don't believe. Right? And those that don't believe can hear and not understand. Those who don't believe can see and not interpret what they see. Isn't that right? They can listen to the same deal, but how many of you know being a believer changes everything that you see in God and everything that you hear in God? Being a believer changes the whole thing. In every dimension, changes the whole thing. So think about it. It's been given to you. Look at that, given to you. In other words, it's the will of God. It's, if I could say it another way, it's our mandate. I could say it another way. It's our privilege. I could say it another way. It's our responsibility to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. Now think about that. In everything that, you know, in every group, how many of you know there's an inside track to the White House? You and I, well, you know, unless you're some undercover operative, we don't know the mysteries about the White House of the United States of America, do we? We're not in that inside track. We don't know the discussions that our president and his cabinet, we don't know any of that, do we? Now, oh, they tell us something, but how many of you fully trust that? And I'm going to leave it there, okay? Are you with me? In other words, we're not on that inside track. Most of us here are not in inside track of the politics of the city of Twin Falls, right? We're not involved in those, and I don't mean to make it sound like it's covert, but we're not involved in the details of the things that make Twin Falls, you know, the decision makers and all that sort of stuff. Because how many of you know, it isn't just an out in the open decision making process. Now think about that. It's been given to us. We have a privilege. And I'm going to say, I think we have to put responsibility in there, but that's just my saying. We have a privilege to be privy to know, to experience the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven that not everyone will be able to partake of. The only ones that can partake of it, here's the thing, it's not an exclusion made by the decision of God. It's an exclusion made by the decision of the person that chooses to believe or not believe. Now, God's not just sitting there, no. You really want to believe, Dred, but I'm not going to let you. Nope, you'll never know. It's not like that. How many of you know he's a whosoever will God? So that if we choose to believe in him, then we have a wonderful privilege. We have a wonderful responsibility. We have a wonderful challenge. We have a wonderful mandate to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. I don't know about you, but there's something in me as a believer that I want to know how God works. I want to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. I want to get good at understanding how the things of God work here in this earth, in my life, for the time that I'm here. I want to know those things. I don't want to know so that I can just go, well, I know stuff you don't know. I don't want to know like that. I want to know so that I can fulfill the will of God for my life as it dovetails with the will of God for people. I want to be able to know how I can bring Jesus to people and see them opened up to the things of God. I want to know that when I'm standing at the bed of a person, how that I can pray most effectively to see the power of God work on their behalf. I want to know how that happens. I don't want to be in the clouds about those things. What a wonderful privilege it is to know. Now, there's a reason it's called mysteries. How many of you know God is mysterious? Okay, now, don't define mysterious the way Spielberg would. Don't define mysterious the way Hollywood would, because most of the time, that type of mysterious is from a dark side. Are you with me? But how many of you know God, if I could say it this way, and I hope you understand, God's just not an open book. He's willing to open up himself to any believer. But until you're a believer, listen, who God is, you'll not ever fully understand. That's why insurance companies make silly statements in some of their insurance claims. We'll cover you, you know, in this, that, or the other, but if it's an act of God, it's like, how do you know that was an act of God? And they'll list things that they term an act of God. And so they have this idea, and that's just an example. People that aren't believers have an idea who God is, but how many of you know it may or may not even be close to who he really is that a believer has figured out, because it's been made known to them, it's been given them to know the mysteries of who God is. So the world, when the world comments on Jesus, how many of you know most of the time they're probably going to get it wrong. When the world comments on God, most of the time they're probably going to get it wrong. Why? Is it because they're evil? Is it because they're trying to? No, it's because hearing, they still don't hear. Seeing, they don't see. Because they're not a believer. When you become a believer, it does change everything. It doesn't mean that you'll know God overnight. In fact, this series that I'm going to talk about, I'm just going to talk about farmer stuff. We're going to find out. This is a lifelong process. But let's continue on. It's been given to you, believers, to know the mystery of the kingdom. But to them, non-believers, it's not been given. For whoever has, to him more will be given. He will have abundance. But whoever doesn't have, even what he has will be taken from him. What does that mean? That's a portion of scripture that some people just don't understand. Well, I don't get it. We'll look at, and because I'm going to continue, I'm going to look at all the stories, parables of Jesus in this Growing in Christ series. It's going to take us quite a few weeks to go through. It's going to just be kind of fun. But you remember the story of the talent? One got five, one got two, one got one, something like that. The one that got five went out and did what? Doubled it into five more. The one that had two went out and, am I right on the two? Is it two? I think it is two. And doubled it and da-da-da. The one that got one, what did he do? He got afraid, went and buried it, and it was taken from him. Then the scripture says, to whom much is given, more will be required. And then it talks about same idea. It's stated just a little bit differently, but the same idea. To him who has a lot, even more will be given. How many of you know that as a believer, if I could say it this way, just to try to put it in language that we understand, how many of you know you can get on a roll growing in God? Right? And what I mean by that is, once a mystery is revealed to you about God as a believer, a certain segment, or because how many of you know we'll not ever fully understand God? I mean, we're not going to be able to fully comprehend God, because if a human can ever fully comprehend God, then he's reduced everything that God is down to the size of your brain. And that'll never happen. Never happen. Because God supersedes all of us. In fact, he supersedes the accumulation of every one of our brains. Supersedes it all. But you probably, as a believer, hopefully you've experienced this. If you haven't, I encourage you to get to digging. Here's the thing. You get one thing figured out about God, and then it already begins to open up another light. And you go, well, if that fits, then, well, then that fits. And then you begin to go there, and you begin to grow in that. And you begin to get that figured out. And as you get that figured out, and what I mean by figured out is to this degree, not, please understand, I'm not talking about, well, I got that figured out. I'm not talking about in an arrogant, prideful sort of way. I'm talking about in a way that goes, wow, that's no longer a mystery to me. Okay, you get that figured out, and then that begins to put three pieces to the puzzle that you've been trying to figure out your whole life, and you got those three pieces of the puzzle got figured out, and then, wow, after you begin to walk down that road for a little while and begin to grow, that opens up four or five more. That's what it's talking about. He who has that revelation of mysteries, he who has that, even more will be given. But he who doesn't, who would that be talking to? I'd be talking to a non-believer. At the very least, or I think it'd even be talking to a believer that has ceased to grow. Amen? Or that has come to a spot that's just like, I know enough. Then it says that one will even lose what they do have. Amen? Well, that only stands to reason. There's some things. Have you ever heard a non-believer talk about Jesus? And you almost think that, man, where did you get that? You're dead on. Of course, then most of the time it's when they talk about Jesus, it's like, where did you get that? That's whacked. Because non-believer, you can see, or you can look and not see, you can hear and never understand, right? Goes on here, and he then quotes from the book of Isaiah. So Jesus said, so therefore I speak to them in parables, because seeing they don't see, hearing they don't hear, nor do they understand. He said, this fulfills Isaiah's prophecy, which says, hearing you'll hear and shall not understand, seeing you'll see and not perceive. For the hearts of this people have grown dull. Their ears are hard of hearing. Their eyes have closed, so that lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, and lest they should understand with their hearts and turn, so that I should heal them. So blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. So let me ask a question. Does that just automatically mean if you're a believer, you see it all and understand it all? Well, I say no, it can't mean that, and I'll tell you why. Because when Jesus spoke in parables, he wasn't just speaking to non-believers. In fact, the reason that he spoke in parables was so that the mystery could be revealed to a believer, so that he could convey a truth to a believer that would put their roots down deeper, that would make the mystery no longer a mystery, but that would be reveal parts of that mystery that you go, wow, right? So a believer just simply is the first step. Maybe that would be a way to say it. Being a believer is the first step into a wonderful world of mysteries being revealed that we get to spend the rest of our life going on an adventure. I would have loved to have been a pioneer during the coming West, you know, from Daniel Boone's age. But what a wonderful thing as a believer to think that for the rest of my life as a believer here on this earth, I get to be a treasure hunter of God. Think of it this way. We all get to be a spiritual Harrison Ford. What was his name in those movies? Indiana. We all get to be a spiritual Indiana Jones. For the rest of our lives, think about that. That, you know what? We have unlimited travel. We have unlimited funds. We have unlimited resources. Why? Because we have the Holy Spirit of God on the inside of us. We've got an unlimited capacity to go wherever in God that we want to go and find out the mystery. Now tell me the Christian life's not fun. Amen? I mean, really, when you begin to frame it in maybe a different framework, it can maybe just help get our brains in a spot that we look at it instead of being a daunting task, you know, because I understand that, you know, there can be this thing of, you know, it's kind of a silly thing, but, you know, the tragedy that just happened with this airliner. Can you imagine those folks have not, they don't know where to start looking for this thing. You know, they've started with the last radar blip. Past that, they don't know what happened after that. So that's kind of a daunting task of thinking, I don't know where to start. And, you know, with God, about all you got to do is spend just a little bit of time in God and you realize how big He is and how immense He is and how small my brain is, right? And so there can be a part of you, if you frame it that way, well, where do I start? I just choose to frame it another way. How incredible that I get to spend the rest of my life going on a treasure hunt, finding out the depth and the breadth of who God is and how that has the effect of changing my life to conform to His plan, His will, and able to participate with the implementation of His will here upon this earth. That's incredible, guys. Ooh, we're after 10. Okay, well, next week, I encourage you to read the parable of the sower. Read it from all three texts of the Synoptic Gospels. Read it from the book of Luke. Read it from the book of Mark. And read it from the book of Matthew. And we'll delve into the parable of the sower. I tell you what, just this week, a couple more mysteries regarding that story just became as clear as a bell to me. And I don't know how many times I've told God, you absolutely amaze me, Father. You just absolutely amaze me at the layers of depth of treasure that you are found in a story that I bet I've read that story. I don't know how many times I've read that story. I feel like I could talk about that story backwards and still have it make sense. But just this week, I saw some stuff that I just went, how stupid I've been. You know, the best way to say it is, wow, that's been a mystery for so long. It's no longer a mystery. It's no longer a mystery. And there's a treasure there that I look at that I was never able to appreciate ever before. So, how cool is that? Amen. Let's bow our head and close our eyes.